we had the economy and the trade and investment relationships to kind of help steady the ship.
What's been the bright light in U.S.-China relations? It's Thursday, March 16th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. Join us, too, online on our Facebook page at VOA Asia. Also ahead, will a Chinese moratorium affect fishing in the South China Sea? A look at efforts to end child abuse in Vietnam, plus felines of the robotic kind. It all starts right now on VOA Asia. The annual meeting of the National People's Congress in China ended Wednesday with Chinese Premier Li Keqiang saying Beijing does not want a trade war with the United States. That would not make trade fairer. Mr. Li said China-U.S. relations have been going forward in spite of various twists and turns, and regardless of who is U.S. president. He said he remained optimistic about the future of the relationship. Media reports indicate that President Donald Trump will host his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping on April 6th and 7th at Mr. Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. Neither government has confirmed that summit. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is visiting Japan, South Korea, and China. He's expected to work out the final details of their first meeting. The two leaders have spoken by phone, and during last year's election campaign, candidate Trump was critical of Chinese trade practices. He angered Beijing in December after taking a post-election congratulatory phone call from Taiwan's leader. Scott Harold, a Rand Corporation political scientist, tells VOA's Victor Beatty economic ties have been the bright light in a relationship that has become more contentious over security matters.
The economic aspect of the relationship historically over the last 30-plus years often was referred to as kind of the ballast in the relationship. In other words, when the geostrategic military intelligence rivalry aspect got too harsh, at least we had the economy and the trade and investment relationships to kind of help steady the ship. I think, unfortunately, as China has grown more and more aggressive in its efforts to try to climb the value-added chain, including by stealing intellectual property from foreign companies and made the domestic Chinese market much harder for foreign companies to operate in, that the value of China's market and the value of economic cooperation has diminished somewhat.
One of the top issues, of course, is North Korea. Another is the South China Sea. Another is Taiwan, where the Trump administration apparently preparing a robust package of weapons for Taiwan. Can any of these issues be dealt with successfully?
I think on the North Korea issue, China's response has largely been to try to blame South Korea for North Korea's actions and to try to punish South Korea for wanting to help the United States to defend South Korea. I'm thinking here of South Korea's approval of the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Ballistic Missile Shield to help defend U.S. forces stationed in Korea. China's reaction has been to begin investigating all of the entities that are associated with the Korean entities, namely the Lotte Corporation, which has branches in China, and to begin expelling Korean products from the Chinese market, as well as shutting off tourism and travel to South Korea by Chinese tour operators. So that suggests that the North Korea issue is one area where, while we should be cooperating, while we would appreciate China's cooperation, I doubt that we can count on it. South China Sea, even more so, since I think China regards that as an area where they have substantially changed the status quo in a direction that they regard as very helpful to them materially in terms of operational capabilities. Then the question of Taiwan, and I think there, again, this is something where China regards it as an area that is only within China's purview. I think the United States and many other countries, while they may not say so explicitly, do not regard China's claims to Taiwan in the same way that China does and do not believe that China should be able to use force to absorb or coerce Taiwan into unification against the will of the people of Taiwan.
At his post-Congress news conference on Wednesday, Premier Li Keqiang said China resolutely opposes Taiwan's independence and insisted on maintaining the One China policy. These are among some of the top Asia stories that are trending on VOAnews.com. The top U.S. diplomat begins a three-nation tour in Japan. Malaysia says DNA confirms identity of slain Kim Jong-nam. Prosecutors summon ousted South Korean leader for questioning. China anxious about trade war with United States. Indian Prime Minister Modi recasts image as advocate for the poor. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues as China says it's paying close attention to the conflict near its border in northern Myanmar, and it's urged all sides to carry out an immediate ceasefire. China is seeking a return to order to the border region as soon as possible to safeguard the security, legitimate rights, and interests of Chinese citizens and organizations just over the border in Myanmar. VOA Burmese Chief Than Win Tun joins us with the latest, including what's happening with the area's usually bustling trade.
First of all, that so-called Northern Alliance, means of the four ethnic rebel groups, attack the border town controlled by Burmese army. So casualty is quite high from both sides and also civilian. And on top of that, all the civilians fled to China side of the border, China, and also other part of the inside Burma. There's a lot of internally displaced person, more than 50,000 people inside Burma, as well as more than 20,000 refugees arrive in a China border town.
A big impact. I know we've spoken before about who might be involved in some of these clashes, that perhaps Chinese were involved. Do we have any indication?
Chinese are now taking very serious. So they try to, what I call, intervene the situation. They want to see this area a little bit peaceful for them. It's a union, for Yunnan province, it is very important for to have a kind of a regular border trade with Burma. So Chinese are now intervening. As a result of that intense fighting and fleeing of the refugees, the main problem is the trade between Burma and China is heavily interrupted. Daily cross-border trade is about $1.5 million a day. Now, we spoke to one of that officer who is in charge of the trade over there, telling me that it was until yesterday. It's go down to the $500,000 a day. This morning, we heard that on the trade route, one of the trade routes, there was a three-hour-long fighting going on, and the trade is completely stopped. So the thing is, this is unusual. Like he was just offering that if rebels want to talk to the army or government, they can just simply go as an intermediary. And they can even offer either these kind of meeting or negotiation, either be in China or somewhere else or something like that. That kind of direct intervention is unusual.
How difficult is it for the people who flee into China? What are they facing there?
There's a two type of refugees. Because it's the border town, especially a town called Lao Cai. Most of them are Khokan or Wa. They are, in that sense, they are ethnic people. They share culture and language mainly with China. So they speak Chinese and they have a relative in the, across the border. So those people, they fled to the to China side. But for those, what I call merchant or those traveler or go there to do their own business, since they don't have anybody's who will help in a China side, they have to flee back to the inner side of Burma.
Than Win Tun joins us. Thank you so much, as always.
Happy to be here.
We're happy to have our listeners from Myanmar hear us daily on the VOA Burmese Facebook page. Thanks for being with us today for VOA Asia. Happening now in Asia, satellite images show new construction by China in the disputed South China Sea. Beijing's defense ministry said it wasn't familiar with new construction. Experts say the new activity in the Paracels Group are key to China's presence in the South China Sea. You can stay up to date with VOA all day. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy to have you with us here today on VOA Asia. In the last 5 years, there were 5,000 child abuse cases in Vietnam. In the past week alone, 3 cases occurred in Hanoi, Ho Chi Minh City, and Vuong Tau. VOA Vietnamese reporter Truc Pham spoke with VOA's Steve Miller about the child abuse problem in Vietnam.
It's really a very big problem because different reports, though, you know, are not really with sufficient information, indicate that there are over 5,000 cases of child abuse in Vietnam, I mean sexually abused. And experts fear that the real number is even bigger than that because many families did not report what happened to their children.
Right, and that's really only in the last few years, correct?
Yes, and they don't have numbers that go back before 2005. So, you know, it's only the tip of the iceberg.
So if they've identified this problem, does anyone really have an idea of what preventative measures may be of assistance?
The problem will be pushing more pressure on the government, on different authorities to implement the laws. Because in Vietnam, there are enough laws, there are enough regulations, and Vietnam also participates in many international conventions on the protection of children. So the problem is that right now, both the government and parents, they take this matter lightly because on the government side, the police and other forces, they are too busy with protecting the political system rather than focusing on issues like this. And on the people's side, sometimes they think that, you know, settling with, you know, accepting some money compensation is enough.
When you say money compensation, from whom?
From the perpetrator, from the criminals. In many cases, when things like this happen, the criminals usually negotiate with the families and finally they come down to a certain amount, like, you know, $10,000 or even sometimes less than that, and things just go to silence.
So no formal charges are then sent to the police for them to follow up on.
That's right. And that is what different activists are urging, that people should move away from that practice because accepting money compensation cannot solve any problem.
What about educational programs geared towards children so they can be more aware of their surroundings and of this danger?
That is what social groups are urging too, because they said that right now the education system does not really have a formal program on how to recognize, I mean, for the children to recognize threats or sexual abuse. And those skills are really necessary and are taught in many countries already. And Vietnam still lack that.
Are they moving towards bringing in outside experts to help facilitate those kinds of programs in educational institutions or community outreach groups?
I think for several years now, there are foreign experts that come to Vietnam and do some exchange programs on this. But that still has not created a very big impact yet.
Truc Pham is with our Vietnamese service here at Voice of America. Thank you so much for stopping by the studio.
It's a pleasure to talk with you.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Philippines Vice President Lenny Robredo issued a rebuke to President Rodrigo Duterte's drug war via video to the UN Commission on Drugs in Geneva. Robredo described the killings as summary executions and said Filipinos were hopeless and helpless. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues as China's plan to declare a fishing moratorium in the contested South China Sea this year threatens to shake relations with its neighbors. Experts say the moratorium might violate a 2016 World Arbitration Court ruling. The Chinese Ministry of Agriculture said in February it would impose its strictest ever fishing moratorium in May to protect stocks. The moratorium will cover the South China Sea south to the 12th parallel, lopping off waters claimed by Taiwan, Vietnam, and the Philippines. Beijing has enforced past South China Sea fishing moratoriums by seizing fishing boats. Fabrizio Pizzato from Tongkang University in Taiwan says China risks improved relations with Vietnam and the Philippines if it seizes boats again.
China has announced the fishing moratorium without consulting the other claimant nations, which have substantial fishing interests in the South China Sea. It would be a completely different story if China had consulted states like Vietnam or the Philippines to implement a coordinated fishing moratorium. The message that Beijing intends to convey is that the South China Sea is an entirely Chinese sea, and China has exclusive rights to its resources.
Neither Vietnam or the Philippines is likely to acknowledge the Chinese moratorium. Termsak Chalamaparlanpop, a fellow of the ISEAS Yufsak Institute in Singapore, says individual boat operators will decide whether or not to violate the moratorium.
It depends on the local fishing people, whether they want to risk being arrested by the Chinese Coast Guard. Maybe the challenge by the littoral state can be more vigorous. China actually has no legal basis to claim control of many disputed areas.
The Philippines government will probably avoid advising fishing boats to shun the moratorium zone because any warning would sound like a concession to China. Herman Kraft is a political scientist at the University of the Philippines, Diliman.
Aggressive harassment, then just like what happened in Scarborough Shoal before, there would probably be lessening of the presence of Filipino fishermen going to these areas.
Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte met his Beijing counterpart last October to explore joint uses of the disputed sea, and senior Chinese and Vietnamese officials have met since September to look into maritime cooperation. However, on March 7th, the U.S.-based Lawfare Institute said Beijing's moratorium threatens the thaw in China-Philippines ties. Experts say fishing moratoriums also help China assert legal control of disputed areas. Chinese officials have strongly rejected a verdict last year from The Hague's Permanent Court of Arbitration, in which Manila protested a similar Chinese-imposed fishing moratorium in 2012. Developing at this hour in Asia, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang said Beijing has no intention to devalue its currency to boost exports and said the exchange rate would remain generally stable. The declining yuan has depleted nearly $1 trillion in China's currency reserves since 2014. VOA Asia keeps you all informed all day on Facebook at VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, big cats make their home roaming in some parts of Asia, but you're more likely to see them in a zoo or similar habitat. It's certainly true in major cities like London. So imagine the surprise to someone who recently saw a leopard sharing space with the famous lions of Trafalgar Square. Fortunately, that cat was no more real than the famous bronze lions. VOA's Kevin Enix reports that there was a point and that to point out that big cats like leopards and lions are in trouble all over the world.
Her name is Lily, and she made an appearance in London's Trafalgar Square this week. The creation of designer John Nolan, Lily weighs 50 kilos and is about 1.3 meters long, and it takes a few engineers to handle all her moving parts. Lily took 5 weeks to build, but Nolan says it was worth it to help call attention to the troubles real cats are having all over the world.
These animals are roaming the streets in places like Mumbai, because we're taking up to 90% of their natural habitat. So, yeah, really good cause. And then, what better to spread the word with the use of a robot?
There are over 80 species of cats around the world, and like these lions in Zimbabwe, most of them are threatened by human activity. The International Union for Conservation of Nature lists the lion as vulnerable and estimates populations around the world have dropped 43% in just the past 20 years. Tigers are even more threatened. They are an endangered species, and the IUCN says there may be less than 2,500 left in the wild. Lily was created in part to draw attention to the ways that human growth is putting pressure on the world's big cats.
What we are seeing is as habitat across the world continues to disappear, and more pressure is being put on species of wildlife, including all of the cats, we're seeing more incidences of human-wildlife conflict on a daily basis.
Conservationists say the trick to saving big cats and a host of other species is to make sure they have enough room to roam and put an end to poaching. If not, Lily may be the only leopard we'll find outside of a zoo. Kevin Enix, VOA News, Washington.
And now that you've heard the story, check out the video online at our website, voanews.com, and also on our Facebook page at VOA Asia, which we hope you visit often and like it while you're there. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Don't forget, our program is also a podcast. You can download it, take it wherever you go. You can find us at voanews.com, where we stream every day. And a shout out again to all of our listeners in Myanmar who follow us on our Facebook page, VOA Burmese. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Thomas Blondet, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our great VOA Asia team, including Steve Miller and Ali Ogden. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Have a great day ahead.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is in the midst of its most severe drug epidemic since the 1980s. Nonetheless, the country is positioning itself within the international system to fight it, thanks to close cooperation with its international partners and with mechanisms created over the past decades to fight drug trafficking, said Assistant Secretary for International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs William Brownfield. He spoke at a press conference to introduce the congressionally mandated 2017 International Narcotics Control Strategy Report, submitted annually by the State Department. The report describes the efforts of key countries to attack all aspects of the international drug trade. This year's report, said Assistant Secretary Brownfield, is a story of 40 years of building capabilities, intelligence, coordination, specialized units, new laws, and relationships around the world. So, for example, the United States and Mexico have developed cooperative mechanisms, coordination, joint operations, and intelligence sharing that have improved the ability of both countries to address the issue of drug trafficking across the U.S.-Mexico border. We are better positioned to deal with it today, as this annual report demonstrates, because we have mechanisms cooperation, said Assistant Secretary Brownfield. We have regional groupings. We have equipment and technology. We have specialized units. We have legislation and statutes on the books in more than 100 different countries that allow us to address the issue internationally, multinationally, regionally, and bilaterally among governments. It is much better that we are confronting this situation, this historic opioid crisis today, with the architecture that we have in place now than it would have been 20 years ago, he said. I believe we have a good strategy. I believe this international drug report lays out a good global architecture for more than 100 nations of the world to cooperate and work together to address the drug issue.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.